God is with us. I'm Darren, and I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314, and we are in a series called God With Us. We truly believe that God is with us in all circumstances. I want to ask you a question. How many of you came in here today expecting to experience Jesus? Did anybody come in here with a spirit of expectation? If you didn't come in here with a spirit of expectation, that you came in here maybe just to be able to see some kids do their thing up here later on, I want to be able to ask for us to be able to take a moment to be able to get focused on what God has for us. Father God, we give you this moment. We give you this time for our experience to be upon you and not upon all the things of this world. For the next 20 to 30 minutes, God, that we can focus upon you and what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We believe that God is with us at all times. We see this from our main theme verse that we get in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And I'm going to be preaching specifically about this verse on Christmas Eve, on December 24th, and it's going to be a powerful time for us. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, and everybody together, God with us. Amen. He is God with us. And we know this. We know that there are moments in our life when we can experience God and we can understand his power in a very easy way, right? Like if you're a follower of Christ, you can have those mountaintop moments where we experience Jesus, and it's easy to be able to see that, right? Like you just got a raise. Hallelujah, man. The Lord was with me on that raise. Can I get an amen right there? Like, man, my company didn't get rid of our insurance. That's a fantastic one right now, isn't it? It just seems like it gets crazier and crazier. The Lord is with me. Or for all of our kids back there, man, your parents tell you, man, you don't have to go to school today. Hallelujah, the Lord is with me. Can I get an amen, right? Like there's moments that we know that God is with us. But then there's also some difficult moments in life. And we don't necessarily think of those moments that God is with us. Instead, maybe we ask the question, God, where are you? Right? Last week we talked about that God is with us in the valley. Right? And we learned that we can enjoy God. We enjoy him in those mountaintop moments. We enjoy him in the mountaintop, but we get to know him intimately in the valley, don't we? We get to know his character, that he hasn't left us, but that he's walking alongside us. And he knows that his ways are higher than our ways, and many times the way and the place to peace is through the valley. God is with us in the valley. And just to let you know that what we're going to be talking about next week is going to be something that's difficult as well. We're going to be talking about God being with us in the storm, right in the middle of the storm. And I got to prepare you because I didn't prepare you last week. And some of you came in here and you're like, I didn't know I was going to be crying this much, Pastor. All right. Like, but we understand that God is going to be with us in the storm. And today we're going to talk about something difficult as well. To understand that God is with us in the wilderness. God is with us in the wilderness. Where's the wilderness? What does the wilderness really symbolize? The wilderness it's a little bit like the valley, isn't it? The wilderness is a little bit like the valley, except it's even longer. It's even more expansive than the valley, isn't it? It's bigger. It's longer. It's drier in the wilderness, isn't it? It's more desolate in the wilderness. It's more lonely in the wilderness than even in the valley. The wilderness is something that is very tough for us. Maybe there's some of you in here today who have experienced that wilderness before. Maybe there's some of you in here who are experiencing a wilderness moment even right now, where you're walking through a situation and you're just wondering to yourself, is there any end in sight? Is this ever going to stop? Many times in the wilderness, we feel all alone. We feel completely depleted. We feel like I can't go on anymore. Many times we begin to wonder in the wilderness, don't we? We wonder what is the next step going to be. For some of you in a wilderness, it might feel like a dead end job to you. right? Like you're in a job that you just can't stand, working with people that you can't stand, right? Like, I know Jesus tells me to love my enemies, but oh my goodness gracious, like, I don't think he knew what it was like to work with this person, you know? And you're wondering, should I stay in this place? Because I know that there's safety in having a job that can provide finances, right? Like, I'm wondering, should I be here even though I'm miserable, even though I feel like there's no purpose in my life, or should I take the big leap and go into some unknown? And you're in a wilderness and it's been going on and you just don't know what to do, right? Or maybe for some of you, a wilderness might be even a relationship. That you're in a relationship, you're in a dating relationship, and you're sitting there thinking, man, like, is this guy ever gonna propose? Like, we've been dating for a long time. Like, man, if you like it, put a ring on it, you know, like, ain't no ring coming yet, you know? And you're wondering to yourself, should I just leave it and go into something else? Or should I stay or should I go? I don't know. I don't know. It's a wilderness for you. Some of you might even be in a financial wilderness where you've been struggling financially for so long and you're just trying to kind of claw out of debt, but every single time you claw out of debt that there's something new that happens, right? Like I really needed that check engine light to come on right now, right? I really needed for my kid to break his pinky toe right now, right? Like, there's so many times that we're trying and we're clawing and we're getting our way out of it, and then all of a sudden, it seems like I'm never going to get out of this mess. And we're in the middle of a wilderness. And I want you to know today that God is with you in the wilderness. In fact, I have even some good news for you. Even in the middle of your pain and your hurt. Because let's be honest about it. That a wilderness is not a place that any of us want to go. We don't want to go to a place where there's wondering. We don't want to go to a place that we feel alone. We don't want to go to a place where there's pain and there's hurt. But I have some good news for you today. And it's this. Is that the deepest need that you have becomes a gift when it drives you to depend upon God. Your deepest need, no matter how painful it is, no matter how lonely that it is for you, no matter how long the hurt has been going, can become a gift when it drives you to depend completely upon God. Because I can tell you this, that there is no greater place for you to be than in complete dependence upon God. When you experience him, you can begin to experience his power. When you experience him, you begin to experience his presence. When you experience him, you begin to experience his protection. When you experience him, you begin to experience his provision. Only when you are experiencing him will you experience all of those things. And so maybe the greatest need that you have is a gift because it is driving you to depend upon God completely. The greatest place that you can be. Isn't it amazing though that sometimes the wilderness that we're in, that it comes right after some mountaintop victories. Isn't it? Like you just experienced all of those things. Man, I just experienced God in a powerful way. Man, I just got to have this miracle of provision and protection inside of my life. And then immediately it seems like I'm back in a wilderness moment. You're not alone in that. In fact, that's kind of the way that it seems like it goes. And we see that happen in Scripture over and over again, right? Like let's take the children of Israel. The children of Israel, they experienced God in a powerful way. Oh my goodness, they got to see his presence and his power perform in a miraculous way. That they were slaves in Egypt, and then God sent all of these plagues that were coming around. In fact, there's about 10 of them if you watch the movie, right? So he sends all these plagues, and they got to see how God was moving, and then there was a deliverance even from Egypt. And as they're walking out of Egypt, then they all of a sudden, they get to this place called the Red Sea. And now they're like, oh man, what are we going to do? Because we got all this water behind us. And now we got an angry Pharaoh behind or in front of us. And then we got Pharaoh behind us in his army. And he's going to come and he's going to slaughter us. And then what happens? Man, all of a sudden, Charlton Heston raises up his hands, right? Like, and the waters part. And the Red Sea parts. And the children of Israel, they get to walk across the Red Sea on dry land. Like, we think that even the miracle of waters parting, like, that's miraculous in itself. But then the water, man, there's a mud. It should be muck, and it's dry land that they're going across. And then all of a sudden, the Pharaoh's army gets in the middle of the Red Sea, and then all of a sudden, the seas come crashing down and completely consume the enemies that were behind them. That they won a battle without even having to lift up a finger. The power and presence of God in a big way. And then the next battle comes before them, and what do? They get scared. And because of the moment, because of they were scared and they didn't want to go into that next battle, they had to spend 40 years in a wilderness. Right after an experience with God on a mountaintop victory that we could all celebrate, that there's movies about still today, right? And then they go right into the wilderness for 40 years. You're not the only one that's ever been in that place. In fact, Jesus has been there as well. Jesus had a mountaintop victory moment right at the beginning of his ministry. Right at the beginning of the ministry that he went and he saw his cousin John the Baptist. And he saw John the Baptist and he said, I need to be baptized as well. I need to be able to show the people that I'm obedient to what God has for me. And so he goes to John the Baptist and John the Baptist baptizes him. And he comes up out of the water and this miraculous mountaintop victory moment happens. That the Holy Spirit comes down from heaven and descends on him as a dove. And then you hear an audible voice from heaven say, this is my son who I love and I am well pleased. Man, I tell you what. I wish that would have happened to me when I got baptized. Man, let the heavens rejoice, right? Like, that is a mountaintop victory. And then when you read the book of Mark, that it says the very next verse, it says that he was immediately, not a moment to spare, that immediately he went from a mountaintop victory and he was forced into the wilderness where he was there for 40 days. Being tempted by the enemy for 40 days in the wilderness, all alone. You're not the first one to be in a wilderness moment. It seems like that's what happens for us, is that we go from mountaintop victory, we're experiencing God, and the next thing we know, we're wondering, where are you? I feel dry. I feel tired. I'm worn out. Is there ever an end in sight? You're not the first one to experience a wilderness. And I want you to know today that God is with you in the wilderness. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at another story in Scripture. We're going to go back to the Old Testament and we're going to look at another individual who walked through a wilderness moment. And we're going to see that this individual, his name is Elijah, we're going to see that Elijah went from a mountaintop victory again right into the wilderness. In fact, if you go to 1 Kings chapter 18, it begins the story for us. And we can see the mountaintop victory that Elijah has in chapter 18. And I'm going to kind of give you some brief overview of it. But I'm going to tell you what, if I were you, I'd go back and read it. Some of you might even want to read it right now because it is baller. It is a fantastic, crazy story. And it is going to be more interesting than even what I'm going to be able to say today, because it is so cool, man. Like, I love the way that God works out in miraculous moments. And so here's how it kind of plays out in chapter 18, is that Elijah has been on the run for a little while because he was going up against this king, and the king's name is King Ahab. King Ahab was not a good guy, all right? Like, he was not a good guy spiritually. He was driving Israel to go away from serving God and instead serving false gods, the false god of Baal and of Asherah. And so what Elijah said is, hey, I got a word from you, and that is this, is that since you have been leading Israel astray from serving God, that there's going to be a drought that's going to come. And there's a drought in the land, and so all of a sudden, man, Ahab, he's angry. He's like, man, I got to get rid of this prophet. And so one day in the beginning of 18, he comes up and he sees King Ahab. And Ahab says to him, he calls him this, oh, there's the troubler of Israel right there. right? Like you can tell they have a little bit of a contentious relationship going on, you know, like they're calling people names over here, you know, like, and so Ahab sees him and Elijah says to him, no, I'm not the troubler. It's you who's the troubler. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a little showdown to see which God is the true God. So why don't you go ahead and call up 450 prophets of Baal? Why don't you go ahead and call up 400 prophets of Asherah and meet me up here on this mountain? Ooh, a mountain, right? A mountaintop. We're going to be able to go up under this mountaintop and we're going to have a little showdown. We're going to be able to see which God is the true God. And then they go through this little showdown and wouldn't you know it, that sure enough, that Elijah serves the true and living God. And at the end of that moment, then all of those prophets, 850 prophets, are slaughtered. Man, that is a mountaintop moment. Like, I told you who God was, and you should listen and obey, all right? And he got to be able to experience that in a big way. He got to experience for that time that he was on the run from Ahab, he got to experience what? He got to experience the protection of God. And he even got to experience the provision of God during that time. See, as he was hiding away from King Ahab, because King Ahab wanted to kill him, as he was hiding away from King Ahab, that God sent ravens down from heaven to feed him on a regular basis. That's powerful, right? Like, man, it's going to take a miracle for a bird to bring me food, because I hate birds, man. They are nasty. That's just all there is to it. Birds are nasty, right? Like, I tell you what, this is the way I think that God would work for me, too, is he'd send a pigeon. That's like the rat of the air, isn't it? It's disgusting. Like, I just see a pigeon. I'm like, that's just full of disease right there. I know that's the way that God would work for me. It would be. He'd be like, hey, don't make fun of my creation. All right, I'm sorry. Like, but they got little cool colors and they're shimmering. They look like oil to me. Anyway, I digress. So he sends these ravens to be able to provide for him. He experienced God's protection. He experienced his provision. And then while they're sitting there on top of that mountain, he got to experience God's presence when all of a sudden this fire comes down from heaven and engulfs all of this sacrifice. It's powerful. He gets to be able to experience God's power, to be able to see all of a sudden all these false prophets that are leaving his nation astray and be able to see him slaughtered before him. He got to experience all of this. And then something happens. Something happens in the very next verse that takes him off of that mountaintop. And we're going to see this pick up in 1 Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel, that's his wife. Man, Ahab, what you got to go telling on people for, man? He went and told his wife. Come on, Ahab, why don't you stand up for yourself? He's all upset. Elijah showed me up, and Elijah killed all of my prophets, and now I'm going to go tell my wife, right? Like, that's what the moment happened. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done. I can't believe he'd done all that. And how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel gets a little angry herself. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say this, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Jezebel, she's a little angry. She wants to be able to see Elijah die. This is a big threat that's before him. This is a man who has experienced God's protection. This is a man who has experienced his provision, who has experienced his power, and he has experienced his presence in a powerful way. And how does he respond to this message from this angry woman? Go on. Elijah was afraid. Right? Man, how many of y'all have had an angry woman at you, right? And you were afraid, right? Some of you men were like, I'm not looking at you. You're on your own, Pastor. Like, I'm not saying a word over here. He was afraid, and he ran for his life. Any of you ever been like, in a moment you're afraid like that, right? Like, it's fight or, right? Like you're sitting there, you know, you're minding your own business, and somebody comes up, and then, boo, hey, man, what hey, don't do that to me, right? Like, I don't need that at this moment, and the first thing that you have, I'm getting up and I'm moving, right? Like that's what's going on inside of you, right? But this man, he doesn't just have a moment. He is so angry or he's so afraid of what this woman is going to. It says, when he came to Beersheba. Okay, let me explain to you very quickly of where the mountain of Horeb was to compare to Beersheba is almost 100 miles. This boy went from a prophet of God to Forrest Gump because of one angry woman. Yeah. I am running. He took off, man. He is scared for his life. And in Judah, he left his servant there. Continue on. And while he himself went a day's journey, and where did he go? Into the wilderness. From a mountaintop victory, immediately into the wilderness. You're not the first one who's ever gone through a difficult time. You're not the only person who has ever gone from victorious moments where you think that life is going so well to all of a sudden you're thinking to yourself, I'm scared for my life. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And you're in the middle of the wilderness. You're not alone. You might feel like it, but you're not the first one who's ever been there before. And I want you to know today that God is with you in the wilderness. He is with you in the wilderness. Continue on to verse 4. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush. He sat down under it and prayed that he might die. And then he said something that many of you have said before. I've had enough. I've had enough of this. I can't take it anymore. I'm at the end of my rope. This isn't fair. I've done so much before, and now I'm sitting here in a place where I'm like, I've had enough of this. Take my life. I'm no better than anybody else that's ever come before. The wilderness is a very real and a very painful place, isn't it? And there's some of you in here today who are experiencing a wilderness right now. And you're thinking to yourself, I just came for a kid's performance. God has something more important for you than that. And that's for you to know that he is with you in the middle of your wilderness. See, sometimes your greatest need, as painful as it is, becomes a gift because it drives you to depend on God. You've had enough of trying to control things. You've had enough of trying to make everything work out the way that you want it to. And it drives you to depend completely on God. And even though it's painful and even though it hurts, I want to encourage you to be mindful of your mindset and to know that God is with you in the middle of your wilderness. And maybe he is calling you to accomplish something so much more than you thought possible. Maybe the mountaintop that you were on before was just a little anthill compared to the mountaintop victory that he has in store for you in the future. But he's got to be able to bring you to a place where you can depend upon him, because there's no possible way for you to get to that mountaintop victory that you need to on your own strength. You can't get to that next mountaintop because you can't get there on your own, and you need to learn how to be completely dependent upon God. He is with you in the wilderness. And that wilderness might be the greatest gift that you've ever had, because it drives you to depend upon God. And you're thinking to yourself, I can't be mindful of my mindset right now because I've had enough. I'm just tired. I'm worn out. You ever felt tired and worn out? And you can't be mindful of your mindset when you're tired and worn out. Elijah said, I've had enough. I'm tired. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of depending upon ravens for some food, right? Like, why don't you send me an eagle sometime, right? I'm tired. I'm tired of having to deal with all this stuff all the time. And that's how you feel, isn't it, in the middle of the wilderness? I'm just tired. I'm sick and tired. I'm wore out. There's an amazing quote from Dr. Henry Cloud that he says this, you aren't just tired, you're spiritually depleted. See, the problem that we have is that we're in the middle of the wilderness, that we're not just tired, that we are completely dry and spiritually depleted. Because the only thing that we're experiencing is the wilderness. And we haven't kept our focus to experience God in the wilderness. See, if you were just tired, then the solution would just be go take a nap. Right? Well, I'm just tired, Pastor. Go take a nap. Well, I feel so refreshed right now. You're not just tired. You're spiritually depleted. And what you need to do in these moments when you're walking in and you're experiencing the wilderness is that you desperately need to experience God. You're going to experience God in the middle of your wilderness. Why? Because He's there with you. And so my prayer that I've been praying for this week, for this moment, for what's going to happen today, is for somebody in here that desperately needs God to experience God today. And if that's you, I want you to know that God is with us right in this moment. His Spirit is here. Why? For you. Because you're in the wilderness, but He's with you. He's with you every single step of the way. God is with you. And He wants to be able to replenish your soul. That's the way David said it in Psalm 23, 1 through 3. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. And it doesn't feel like that in the middle of the wilderness, does it? It feels that I lack everything in the wilderness. It feels like I can't take it anymore in the wilderness. But the Lord is our shepherd. And because of that, that He supplies for each and every single one of my needs. And I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. And I lack nothing. And He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Why? You're tired and you need rest. But it's more than just a nap. It says that He refreshes my soul. Spiritually depleted. In the middle of the wilderness. And when you experience God in the middle of the wilderness, He will refresh your soul. He's going to refresh your soul. There's some of you in here today that need to experience God. That you've been spiritually depleted for too long. And He wants you to know today He's with you to refresh your soul. Continue on in the story of Elijah. And Elijah, after he got done saying these things, I've had enough, God, just take my own life. He's wore out, he's done. Then he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. And all at once, see, it wasn't just a nap, was it? All at once, God's presence is there and he's going to experience something. All at once, an angel touched him and said, hey, get up and eat. Come on, somebody. Isn't that powerful right there? God wants to be able to supply his needs for him. Get up and eat. He looked around and there his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. Again, he experienced the provision of God. He ate and drank and then he lay down again. This is a man who is worn out. He's wiped out. But I'm going to tell you something is that God wants to be able to provide for your needs. He wants you to be able to know that you can count on him for your provision, that you lack nothing in the middle of the wilderness, that he is there for you. And then I love the way that it continues on. It says this, and then the angel of the Lord came back a second time. right? I love that so much. How many of you in here, like, you don't get it the first time around? Anybody? I'm the only one, right? Right? Here's what I want you to know today, is that even if you don't get it the first time, God's going to come back again. That for some of you in here today, that today is your second time. That he's coming back a second time for you because you didn't get it the first time around. You just, man, I'm just experiencing my own stuff. I just need to experience the wilderness all by myself. I'm tired, I'm lonely, and I'm here, and I'm not opening up to anybody. God's coming back again for you. In fact, he's not going to come just a second time. He's going to come a third time. He's going to come back another time. He's going to keep coming back over and over and over again until you get it. And what is it that you need to get? That God is with you in your wilderness. And he touched him and he said, get up and eat, for the journey is, somebody help me today. Hold up a second. I thought scripture said that God will never give me more than I can handle. It doesn't say that. You're not going to find that anywhere. In fact, I'm going to tell you that there will be moments in your life that it is more than you can handle. But when you say yes to Jesus, you don't have to rely upon yourself. When you have a relationship with my Lord and my Savior, that there are moments that are too much for you. But I don't have to rely upon my own strength. I understand that my strength comes from the Lord, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. See, there are moments in your life where there are going to be things that are too much for you to handle. And guess what? It is a gift for you because it drives you to depend upon God. I've had enough. This is too much. It's just the beginning of the gift. The journey is too much for you. There's some of you in here, at this wilderness that you're in, it is too much for you. And I want you to know that God is here to supply for every single one of those needs. The need that you have, the need that is too much for you, God is saying, give it to me. Give it to me. And I'm going to be there with you. God is with us in the wilderness. Continue on. So he got up. Oh, come on now. Come on now. He got up. Somebody say he got up. I'm going to tell you that sometimes the hardest step for us is the first step out of bed every single morning, isn't it? Somebody, that God needs to be able to speak to somebody and say, it's time for you to get up. It's time for you to be able to say, no more are you going to be in your own little pity party. No more are you going to be whining in the middle of the wilderness. For some of you in here today, it's time to get up. It's time for you to get on up. He got up and he ate and he drank. And then what happens when you get up? He was strengthened. Just the step of faith for you to be able to get up and to face the wilderness that is in front of you will give the faith of God inside of you and strengthen you. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and he spent the night. Some of us, it's time to get up and to face a journey that is too much for us on our own. That we can know that we depend upon God completely. And when we have our faith in God, that he is going to give us the strength to face that battle that's in front of us. God is with us in the wilderness. Today is a day for you to not just experience the wilderness that you have, but to experience God in the middle of your wilderness. You thought you were just here for a kid's performance. God has something special in mind for each and every single one of us today. Continue on in verse 9. And the word of the Lord came to him. He said, what are you doing here? God is asking you today, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are you doing with the life that he gave you? See, for many of us, when we hear that question, we want to go straight to the exact same way that Elijah answered that. And this is how Elijah answered that. He replied, well, I've been doing things the right way, okay? I've been zealous for the Lord God Almighty. Like, I've been working, I've been trying, I've been doing everything that I can, but everybody else, but the rest of Israel, they've rejected you. But hey, I've been working hard, but not this person over here. Hey, I've been the one working hard in my relationship, but this knucklehead husband of mine over here, he just can't get it right. Oh no, I've been working hard. Do you know how irrational this woman is over here? Oh, some of y'all that hit a little too close to home, didn't you? Nobody in here has ever said that one before, right? We get a little bit whiny sometimes, don't we? In the middle of the wilderness, we get a little whiny. That isn't fair. I did not ask for this today. Of all days, why did that person have to cut me off? I'm in a hurry today, right? Like, God, I've been working hard, and now this person cut me off. Of all days, it had to happen today, right? We get a little bit whiny, don't we? Because we're worn out, we're tired. It's not my fault. It's everybody else's fault. Like, I'm the best driver there is. Nobody else knows how to drive. I didn't need this, right? Of all days, I had to pick this lane in the grocery store. What's wrong with this person in front of me, right? You shouldn't be using coupons during the Christmas season. Save those for later. I'm in a hurry. I got turkeys to be able to make, right? We get a little bit whiny in the middle of the wilderness, don't we? We blame it on everybody else, and then this is what happens. So I'm the only one left. We feel all alone, don't we? Nobody understands my pain. Nobody else understands all of the stress that I have. Nobody's ever walked through these moments. I'm completely alone. What am I doing here? God, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you to pick me up out of here. Because I need something, and it's not happening. What am I doing here? What are you doing here? Because I need a miracle today. That's how it feels for us, isn't it? We're worn out. We're tired. We're spiritually depleted. And what we really need is we need to experience God. Continue on in 11. And then the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. Elijah needed to have the presence of the Lord in the middle of his wilderness. He needed to have the experience of God as he's experiencing the wilderness. And this amazing thing happens. As he goes outside of this cave and he's waiting for God. Okay, God, show yourself. And all of a sudden, there's this mighty wind. Powerful wind that comes through. Powerful, shattering rocks all over the place. God isn't in the wind. Then all of a sudden, there's an earthquake. The ground is shaking. God's not in the earthquake. And then there's this fire, this all-consuming fire that comes around. God's not in the fire. He's not in the earth, wind, or fire. Like how I did that. For all you 70s R&B fans out there. If you don't know about that, you got to Google that, man. It'll open up your mind. It will. No. He wasn't in those moments. God wasn't in the moments that we feel are loud and powerful. Instead, God is in the whisper. God is in the quiet moment. See, in the middle of the wilderness, I'm not looking for a whisper. I'm looking for some power. I'm not looking for a whisper. I'm looking for some wonders. I'm not trying to find a silent moment. I'm trying to see some signs and wonders come through. I'm in the wilderness right now. I need something loud and powerful to be able to lift up my spirit, right? God wasn't in those powerful moments. Instead, he was in the whisper. Why is God in the whisper? In the wilderness. And the reason why that God is in the whisper in the wilderness is because he is close to you. He's right there with you. He doesn't need to be able to shout. Instead, he whispers to draw you close. See, the enemy shouts his lies at you, but God whispers his truth. The world is shouting to get your attention, but God is whispering to draw you close. In the middle of your wilderness, that the need that you have, it might be the greatest gift that you've ever experienced. Because it drives you to depend completely on God. God is in the whisper. He's drawing you close. Today I want to encourage you to experience God in a way that you haven't in a long time. That you might be spiritually depleted. And that you've been running. But instead of running towards him, you've been running away. Because you feel like, no. God's not there for me. He left me in the wilderness. But today I want to tell you that he's whispering you. And he's whispering something to you. And this is what it is. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm always going to be there for you. Don't you know that I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? And then I have blessings for my children. I have plans for you. Not to just leave you here, but I've got plans to be able to take you to a mountaintop that you can't get on your own. I've got plans to be able to show you things and experience things that are too much for you on your own. And you need me to get there. For some of you in here today, God is whispering to draw you close, to experience him and not just the wilderness around you. Church, we're going to have a moment where I have been praying for to experience God today. Each of you, as you were walking in here, you received a card. Guest card that we talk about all the time. And at the bottom of that card, there's a spot for prayer request. And I want to encourage you to write your wilderness moment down. Where are you dry and spiritually depleted? What is the thing that's scaring you and forcing you to run? What is it that you're asking the question, God, where are you? To meet this need. The wilderness that you have in front of you, I want to encourage you to write it down and to be able to give it to God, that he will supply for every single one of your needs according to his riches and glory, that we can experience God together because he is with us right here in this moment. And I believe that that is the greatest gift that we can have. His presence, his power, his provision, his protection, and that we trust him utterly, completely, alone.